In the second lesson last Sunday, we saw St. Paul wrestling with the fact that most Jews in his time did not receive the Lord Jesus as Messiah. And he was trying to sort out this mystery of divine providence by puzzling over how all the pieces of the eternal plan of salvation will finally fit together in the end. And in all of our scripture lessons today, we see several different dimensions of this very same mystery being unveiled for us by the Word of God. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed that the foreigners or Gentiles who love the name of the Lord and confirm it by doing what is right and just will be brought to God's holy mountain and find that their sacrifices too are acceptable. Hence, the house of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be called a house of prayer for all peoples. And so the psalmist sings, "May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you." And St. Paul, even as he mourned the refusal of his people to accept Jesus of Nazareth as Messiah and Lord, rejoiced that the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. And for this reason, Paul taught that the former lack of faith among Gentiles and the present lack of faith among Jews are in some fashion complementary principles leading in God's eternal providence to mercy and reconciliation for people of every tribe and tongue. Which brings us to the point of today's gospel and the very strange conversation related by St. Matthew. Notice first where the scene takes place, the region of Tyre and Sidon, that is, Gentile territory. These were ancient cities even in the time of Christ, and today those sites are in modern Lebanon. When the children of Israel took possession of the land of Canaan, they were not able to subdue these two cities, which remained centers of Phoenician civilization. Alexander the Great laid waste the city of Tyre, and the Persians conquered Sidon. But after being destroyed, both cities were rebuilt, and under Roman rule became prosperous trading centers. Chapter 15 of Matthew's Gospel, from which we read today, opens with the Lord Jesus in Galilee, engaged in a dispute with a group of scribes and Pharisees who had come from Jerusalem to challenge him over his teaching about the law of Moses. The 12 noticed that the scribes and Pharisees were angry at Jesus, and then he tried to teach the 12 how to understand the law properly and what is required of us to live upright lives. After that exchange with the 12, today's passage begins in the very next verse. At that time, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. The geographical destination is not random. Jesus took the 12 out of Galilee, out of Jewish territory, into Gentile territory to continue his lesson about a proper understanding of righteousness and the law of Moses. And in that pagan territory, a Canaanite woman approached him and the 12. The Canaanites were historic enemies of the Jews, but despite being a Gentile, this woman cried out in faith, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David." Friends, this is extraordinary. The scribes and Pharisees who argued with Jesus in Galilee regarded him as a lawless blasphemer. But this pagan woman in Gentile territory acknowledged him as the Lord, the Son of David, and thereby implicitly affirmed that salvation is from the Jews. The Canaanite woman approached the Lord Jesus because she wanted him to cure her daughter. And although he initially ignored her, she kept calling out for him. Perhaps word of his miracles had already reached the region of Tyre and Sidon. Or perhaps she had a Jewish friend who had told her about the wonder-working rabbi from Nazareth. But however this Gentile woman came to believe that Christ could save her daughter, she was relentless in seeking his help. And the 12 wanted nothing to do with her. "Send her away," they said to the Lord. And at first it seemed that he agreed with them. Jesus said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But the Canaanite woman was not deterred. She did him homage and then said simply, "Lord, help me." And now comes the truly strange part of the conversation. Jesus answered her, "It is not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." This was a standard Jewish insult for Gentiles and a simple way to distinguish the children of Abraham from the Goyim, who are not heirs of the covenants. And the 12 would surely have highly approved of Christ's brusque dismissal of this brash Canaanite woman. But there's more here than meets the eye, and she was not put off. "Please, Lord, for even the dogs eat the scraps that fall from the table of their masters." Matthew does not tell us, and so we cannot know, how this woman came to believe that the Son of Mary was the long-awaited Messiah of Israel. But someone had taught her this saving truth even before the Lord Jesus and the 12 arrived at this outdoor classroom. Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And the woman's daughter was healed from that hour. After these words, according to Matthew, Jesus and the 12 returned to Galilee. I hope by now the point of this excursion is clear. Jesus did not travel from Galilee to hurl insults at a Gentile stranger. He was rather engaged in a teaching mission, teaching the 12 an essential truth that they were not yet disposed to hear and heed. Yes, salvation comes from the Jews, but it is not for the Jews only. It is for the entire human race, without a single exception. Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female. Jesus Christ suffered and died for the redemption of every man, woman, and child who will ever live. And the grace of salvation is offered without distinction to everyone who will receive the word of God with the obedience of faith. "For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." In the fifth section of his letter to the Romans, that is chapters 9, 10, and 11, St. Paul acknowledged this startling truth and attempted to teach the Christians in Rome how to understand the enduring mystery that even disobedience can be part of the providential plan for the salvation of the world. Once we grasp this truth, it should be easier for us not only to tolerate people of other races, religions, and customs, but to rejoice in whatever they have which is good or true or beautiful, even as we search in their traditions for seeds of the word that will help us give them an account of our reason for believing that salvation is in Christ alone, by grace alone. And this is also among the many reasons why racial hatred is gravely sinful and an irrational offense against the unbounded glory of God. My friends, before the throne of grace, there is only one race, the human race. And of that, only those who have been justified, sanctified, and glorified by the Son of David. Our place at that throne comes not from the color of our skin, or the lineage of our ancestors, or the language we speak, or the tribe to which we belong, or the correctness of our politics, or even our observance of the law. our place at the throne of grace, and the place of all who will be gathered there at the end of days, comes only from knowing and living the saving truth that Jesus Christ is Lord.